Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3.
Do you dread going to work? Maybe you love your job, but find the people at work are driving you crazy. Work, with its power structures and all those unwritten rules, can be a tough place to navigate. What should you do when you want to be authentic, want to let the mask down, but are not sure about how much of yourself to share? Well, I've got the perfect book to help you navigate the workplace. I'm reading No Hard Feelings, a terrific, funny, fully empathetic, and really intelligent guide to navigating the world of work and how you can bring your best self to work. Co-author of the book, Molly West Duffy, joins me now. Molly, it's a wonderful book, tremendously helpful. I think it's like a silent work partner, you know, that really helps me restore my emotional health at a workplace. So tell me, why is one of your 7 rules for emotions at work be less passionate about your job?
One of our rules is be less passionate about your job, because we all have become work martyrs. And part of this is great, meaning that we care a lot about our work. And of course, why wouldn't that be a good thing? But we're saying that maybe you should care a little bit less about your work and a little bit more about yourself, so that you can make sure that you don't burn out and you are a more productive employee. If you don't take the time for self-care and actually taking breaks, the research shows that you're not going to be as productive at work.
I love how your book gives us permission to care less. And by that, you don't mean be careless on the job. You just mean prioritize your own happiness. And so leave work when you're at home, or leave work when work ends, right?
Exactly, exactly. We're not saying don't care. We're just saying care a little bit more about yourself.
Now, why do we need new rules for managing emotions at the workplace, Molly?
Emotions have traditionally been something that have been thought as unprofessional. But the truth is that we're still human when we go to work, so we still have emotions. But we've never really learned how to harness them, to think about them, to learn from them in the workplace like we have in our personal lives. And so Liz and I wrote this book to understand, how can emotions be helpful? When are they not helpful? And so the new rules, there's one in each chapter, and they're each rules for how you could better harness emotions at work.
I love that, you know, because we think that work is a place where professionalism means you leave your emotions at the door, but we don't stop being human when we step into the workplace. And so we come with all our, emotional triggers and our vulnerabilities. And speaking of vulnerabilities, one of your rules is be selectively vulnerable. So how can we do this and be authentically ourselves at work?
Yes, great question. So one of the questions that we got was, how do I know if I'm sharing too much at work? And the research shows that if you do share a little bit more than you might be comfortable with, you open up, especially if you're a leader and you're a little bit more vulnerable, people will trust you more because they will see that you're human. So for example, if you're a boss and you're about to announce some layoffs or some bad news and you share it in a way that's very unemotional, people are going to look at you and say, he's hiding something, or she's not giving us the real truth. And so there is something about being more authentic that helps people trust you. However, if you overshare, then people can feel like you are not equipped to do the job. And so you have to strike this right balance, which is really difficult. So we say be selectively vulnerable, which means processing your own emotions, sharing them when appropriate, but also presenting a path forward. So again, if we go back to the scenario of you're a boss, you're sharing some bad news, you know, you could walk in and say, I'm really scared. I have no idea what to do next. That's right, being vulnerable, but that is not going to engender trust from your direct report. You could instead walk in and say, I know this is really hard. I'm struggling with it as well. However, here's what I think we need to do in the next 3 months to move forward. Much better approach.
So you start with a great example of Howard Schultz, CEO of Starbucks, literally crying, choosing to do so. So, you know, when he cries in front of his staff after returning to lead Starbucks from an 8-year hiatus, he does so meaningfully when he stands before them as a CEO. In your book, you say how we share matters. Can you elaborate on that?
Yes. So I think, especially with leaders, but for all of us, we need to be intentional about how we share our emotions and communicate them. So we're not suggesting that people run around the office screaming and sharing any emotion that comes into mind or crying all of the time, but rather trying to be more self-aware of our emotions. And then once we understand them and the need behind the emotion, communicating that. So I might be really frustrated one day with my team, and instead of just saying out of the blue, I'm feeling super frustrated, I might go take 5 minutes, walk around the block, understand the need behind the frustration, which maybe is that I'm worried about an upcoming deadline. And then I can go back to my team and say, hey, you know, I'm feeling a little bit anxious, and the reason is that I'm worried about meeting this deadline. What can we do to make sure that we meet this? And that's a productive conversation, and I've calmed down before I've shared some of my emotions.
Molly, this book says emotion is part of the equation of being at work, and when you're at work, it is about compromising, and there are a series of compromises that we make every day at the workplace. What do you say in this book about dealing with conflict?
Yes. So conflict is something that is not avoidable. We think that a good team is a team where we don't have conflict, but that's simply not true. You're going to have conflict. Again, we're all humans. We all have different needs, and sometimes those are not going to align. And there's two types of conflict. So there's task conflict, which is the clash of creative ideas, and then there's relationship conflict, which is arguments that are driven by people's personalities. Task conflict is something that is much easier to deal with because you're fighting about the work, whereas relationship conflict is much more difficult because you're fighting about the person and you take it personally. Mm. So what we recommend, especially for relationship conflict, is to make sure that you take the time to figure out how you communicate your own personal emotional styles. So we talk in the book about how you might be a seeker, which means you like to argue, or an avoider, which means you'd rather do anything than deal with confrontation. And a lot of times those two types get into problems because one is constantly trying to engage in conflict as just a productive way to get through it, and the other is trying to avoid it. So having a sense of which type you are and sharing that with your team and just really taking the time before you get into a project or working with a new team to share your own working styles can be really helpful.
We're reading a book that helps us manage our emotions at work, help us figure out which emotions to toss, to keep to ourselves, and which to express. I like how you say in this book, your feelings aren't facts. Now, while this is a book that takes emotions very seriously, why did we need reminding that, you know, our emotions are not facts?
Yes, exactly. So we oftentimes feel very strongly about things, and then we take that to be the way that the world is or the way that other people are feeling. And so we react to each other based on assumptions that we've never bothered to look at more carefully. And so one of the biggest problems with communication is that we read into how others are feeling based on our own feelings. Or we think we've communicated our feelings, and we actually haven't communicated our feelings. And so especially as the world moves more digitally, we have to be really intentional about making sure that we've said, hey, is this what you meant when you sent that email? Because I got this emotion from it. Or if you're sending an email, like, hey, putting a smiley face in it, or taking that extra time to write an extra sentence that says, you know, I'm not feeling frustrated with you, I just want to call this out as something to think about for the future.
Now, you've actually lived out what can happen to an individual when the emotional atmosphere at work becomes something you internalize and your health is affected. So you tell us in this book that you had a very stressful job, and then one morning you woke up and the area above your eye was numb. So you've actually lived this. Tell us a little bit about the story behind why you wanted to write this book.
Yeah, so one of my first jobs out of university, I worked at a startup company, and it was incredibly stressful. And I woke up one morning and the area above my right eye was numb, and I ignored it for a few days, and then I finally went to see a doctor, and the doctor asked me a few questions, and then he said, do you have a stressful job? And I was like, yes, you know, who doesn't? And he said, I think that this is caused by stress. And as I was leaving the doctor's office, I had this light bulb moment of, oh, this isn't normal. Like, having stress manifest in physical ways is probably not good. So I quit that job a few months later, but that opened up my interest in how our emotions really can have such a big impact on us, and what happens when we ignore them or suppress them can be really physically detrimental to us. And a few years later, I met Liz, and she had also had a similar experience of thinking about emotions in her own workplace. And so the two of us just got very interested in uncovering why it is that we don't talk about emotions and we're never taught how to deal with them, and how could we write a book that would be helpful for ourselves.
Great. Really, really great. What do you say to female leaders who are trying to strike a balance between showing emotion at work and being authoritative?
Yes. So for gender and leadership, this is a tough topic because it is something that I think there's definitely still a double standard, even though things have changed a bit. Mm-hmm. So I think we say that you should not shy away from being decisive and straightforward when you're delegating. So you, as a female leader, you really want to say things clearly. So instead of saying, would it be possible for you to finish a one-page memo by tomorrow, you could say, the client needs the memo by tomorrow, end of day. Can you complete it by then? So getting to that clarity. You also don't want to stifle your emotions. And I think as women, we are often told, oh, don't be too emotional, or, you know, don't cry, or that sort of thing. But emotion can be a really effective tool to help you bond with the people that you work with and inspire the people that you work with. And we're seeing more and more as we get into this century that is really important, actually, for both men and women to share a little bit more emotion is becoming more important in the workplace.
That's a great place to end off. Thank you so much. It's a great book. I hope everybody picks it up. No Hard Feelings, Emotions at Work and How They Help Us to Succeed is what I'm reading today. Thank you so much, Molly, for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.